Welcome to this special edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and I am throwing out this special episode because as many of you may have seen on the Facebook page, this week my wife and I had to put down our little guy, Cooper. He was a Basset Beagle mix, which made him a bagel. And so I just thought I'd come on here and do a special edition to just talk about our fur babies and talk about the joy that they bring to just about anyone that meets them. And, you know, just talk. It is Men's Mental Health Awareness Month, as our last episode had just discussed. And for anyone that's ever had to go through the loss of a pet of any kind, but for us specifically, a dog, it is a hard thing. I think, you know, it's one of those things where they come into your life, they bring you so much joy, but you know at the end of the day, most likely, you're going to outlive your animal. For us specifically, it was our little Cooper. He was 15 years old and 9 months, I believe. He was born on September 11th of 2008, and this past Monday, on June 23rd, it was time for him to cross what they say, the Rainbow Bridge. Boy, he had a heck of a life, though. I met him, though, when I was 10 years ago, so he's about 5 years old at the time. Stephanie, my wife, who you might remember from episode one, she got him 5 years prior to ever meeting me. And since then, he had been in my life until just the beginning of this week. To say it was tough is an understatement. It was just one of those things that we saw it coming and we knew what had to be done, although a difficult decision. He, you know, it's crazy. We have a second dog as well. His name is Jake, and he'll be taking over the audio and video production. He'll be overseeing that now that Cooper is no longer with us. But we got Jake, actually, when Cooper was about 10 years old. So 5 years ago, we got him. And my wife said, you know, I don't know how long Cooper will last if he's just by himself, which was kind of her nice way of saying we should get a second dog. And I was hesitant at first, but now that we have Jake in our life, it's amazing. I wouldn't take it back for the world. I was hesitant at first having two dogs. For anyone that knows us, he's an English Mastiff. So he's a bigger dog. He's 150 pounds, and he was actually the runt of his litter. His mom was 185 pounds, and his dad was 220-ish. And we got him here from a local place just outside of Winona in a town called Lewiston from some people that we actually knew, and he's been a fantastic dog ever since. But he was Cooper's big brother or little brother, however you look at it, whether you look at it in an age-wise or if you look in it as a size-wise. But Cooper was a little 50-pound Basset Beagle mix. He was just like not a ball, but like a ball of fat and muscle all combined into one. And if you know what a Basset Hound looks like and if you know what a Beagle looks like, put them together and you get a bagel. He was white with some tan spotting on him, which he's great look. He always had this little sad face, even though he probably wasn't sad, but it got him a lot of treats, especially from Grandpa, which is my dad. He got a lot of treats from him, whether he'll admit it or not. He got a lot of treats, and he knew when Grandpa came over who to sit by, so much so that he would nip at his leg or nip at his shorts or pants to make sure that Grandpa knew he was down there and he was ready for some treats. But, you know, these dogs, they bring us so much joy in our life. And for me specifically, dogs are they are my soft spot. So much so that people know I will not watch dog movies. If it has to deal with a dog, most likely I'm out. I had my threshold when I saw Marley and Me back in, I want to say it was like 2006. That was the last time I really ever watched a dog movie. And then there was the other one, Below 8 was another one with Paul Walker in it. That was a rough one to watch. But for me, I'm all out on that. If I do have to watch one, usually I'll read maybe some reviews online, or maybe I'll, you know, see what the plot's all about. And then if I do happen to watch it, the last one I can remember that I watched was, I believe it was just called Dog with Channing Tatum in it. Everything was good all the way up until the end where he was about to send him back to the military base, I believe. But then he went back and got him, and all was well. But I always have to remember in my head, these are just dogs acting. They're not really happening and things of that nature. So I'm out when it comes to dog movies. So if Stephanie ever wants to see a dog movie, most likely she's calling up her friend. So Cooper came into my life 10 years ago, and he is one of the, probably he was one of the easiest dogs to ever, ever take care of. He would just go with the flow. You take him on a car ride, he's going to snooze. Take him out on the river, on the boat, he's going to snooze. My wife reminded me of the first time I took him out on the river. You know, if you ever set a dog down by water, they start paddling. Well, he did that, but also his tail would go into a spiral as well, like he was about to take off on an airplane. So he had everything working for him, both or all four of his paws, and then his tail was all going, and taught him how to kind of swim out in the Mississippi, and he always had such a fantastic time out there. And then when he was tired, put him back in the boat, and he would sleep right on the seats, or he'd sleep on the floor, anywhere that was comfortable for him, which in my mind was probably just about everywhere. So he had an adventurous life doing so many fun things, walks, car rides, going to Grandma and Grandpa's house, getting treats, or just sleeping in the house and just being by us. The weekend, we knew it was coming because of the fact that we saw the decline happening the week prior. We saw a slight decline, kind of in the eating, as they say. The eating kind of slowly went down, but his treat intake was not. So that was the one thing we had a little hope that, okay, maybe just didn't want to eat today, that's fine. But as the days progressed, we could kind of see it happening, and then by Sunday morning, he didn't want to eat anything. No food, no treats, nothing, no water. However, we did get him a burger and fries from McDonald's. My good buddy Brett said, give him as many. And you know Brett from three episodes now, he's been on the podcast, Brett Hurley. He said, give him all the hamburgers and cheeseburgers from McDonald's that his heart can desire. And we did that on the last day, and that was the only thing he would actually eat. And he ate about half of it. He ate the whole hamburger, and then he ate about half of the fries. But it was, you know, it was really sad because I wasn't hungry either. When these terrible situations like this, when they arise, I'm not hungry. That whole day I did not eat. My wife said, hey, you should really eat. Go to McDonald's. And sure enough, when I smelled it, I wanted to eat as well. So I guess me and Cooper were kind of in the same spot at that time. I wasn't hungry, but the smell of McDonald's, for whatever reason, it gets you hungry. I don't know if I'm the only one. I'm sure I'm not. But I did finally eat that night as well. But going through the mental states of that whole weekend, it was probably the longest weekend of all time. I've had to put down our family dog back in 2018, I believe it was. And he lived a full life too. He was like a couple days shy of his 16th birthday, so he lived a long life too. But no matter how short or long, you're still never prepared for that day when it comes. We had to put him down as well. But that one was, my parents called me up in the morning and said, I think it's time. So it was like that day. We knew about Friday evening that this is probably Cooper's last weekend. So this past weekend was very, very long. Didn't really want to do much. We had our nephew's birthday party, tried to make the most of it, tried to eat a little bit during that, and then come home and hang out with him as much as we could. But it does just stink knowing that there's an end coming here, and it's just a matter of time. So those are some of the hardest things that happen when this comes up on a weekend. Could we have taken him to an emergency vet? Absolutely. We could have done that, but he was not suffering pain-wise. That's what the vets told us. It was more of a cognitive thing. I'm going to get into that in just a little bit here, but he was not suffering in a physical manner. He was just suffering more cognitively up in the head with confusion and that type of thing. But we kind of made the decision on Friday evening, even though he was doing pretty good. He had about half of his meal on Friday evening, half of his other meal in the morning like he normally got. He got fed twice, and he was eating treats galore. Grandma was giving him Cheetos. We were sneaking him Cheetos and everything because my wife and I had kind of verbally said, we're going to do this on Monday morning. And over the weekend, it just kind of validated our decision on what we should be doing. And it was definitely the right decision. Leading up into that, though, we did everything we could to be with him, make him feel as comfortable as possible. I remember Sunday night is when things got bad. 10 o'clock Sunday night. That was when he started becoming really confused, and he was barking because I don't think he knew where he was. He couldn't get comfortable. Just nothing felt right. And my wife and I think maybe total, I got 2 hours of sleep, and she got maybe 3 hours of sleep at best. But we were up holding him, adjusting him on his bed back and forth to whatever would feel good just to give him 20, 30 minutes of relaxation. I think at one point he had about an hour's worth of comfort. But as that day went on, we knew we were making the right decision, even though the right decision is sometimes the tough decision. So that morning was terrible. Seeing Stephanie devastated. That's tough to see your wife like that. But you know, when we got to the vet and he was laying there on the bed, I had a sense of relief that I know what I'm doing is right, even though it stinks. And when he had finally passed on, I didn't even cry. I had a sense of that was what we were supposed to do. But since then, we have all the things still in the house that we're clearing out of his. Those are tough things, leading up to when I went to McDonald's, I knew I'm getting him his last meal. That's a tough one, too. When we were giving him his, food, we knew this is probably the last one he'll eat. And then you come home after you put down your dog and you're starting to say, what things do we need? We don't need everything sitting here still, so we had a bag of food still that we just had got from the store. And so now we're going to donate that to the Humane Society. We have some of his beds that hopefully they'll accept as well. He was in diapers for about the last 6 months of his life because of the fact that he had bad arthritis in his legs. That's what the vets told us. And they said he's not suffering any more than just any old person that has arthritis. And I said, well, we don't put down people that have arthritis. I mean, a lot of us live with aches and pains all of our life. And obviously, as you get older, you do as well. And we don't just put down humans. And they said, it's just a matter of how much care you want to put into them. And we said, well, we really won't stop at any lengths. So we put them in diapers so we would have less messes to clean up, even though we did not care about the messes because he had stools around the house here and there. And we would just clean it up. Spray the carpet with disinfectant. Every so often we'd do carpet cleaning, but there was no lengths that we just would not go to for Cooper. As long as he was comfortable, that was the main thing. He would get a little confused here and there, but eventually he would just snap out of it. And the doctor said he might have a tumor growing by his brain, and that might be throwing him off. But he was also blind in his left eye and not great seeing in his right eye. So that also played into his balancing factor. But by the last day and a half, he was just literally going in circles trying when he was walking. Because I think he thought that this is the way I go to the right because he can't really see out of his left eye. And there might have been a mass growing on his brain. The doctor asked or the vet asked if I wanted to or if we wanted to take an MRI. And I said, well, at this time he was just turned 15, I believe it was. He just had his 15th birthday. And I go, he's a 15-year-old dog. I mean, even if he does, I'm not going to probably get it removed either way. He's so old that he probably only has less than a year or a year to live. So we decided not to, and we just said we're going to make him as comfortable as possible. And literally all the way up until about Thursday or Friday of last week, that's when things went downhill. And we had to make that decision, as I said. So from there, it was not fun to see him in that state of mind. But knowing that leading up to it, That was the saddest part, knowing this might be his last day, or this is his last day, this is his last meal, this is the last time I'll ever do this with you. Those are, to me, the tough part. When we went to the vet, Grandma was there, which is my mom, my wife was there, and me, and it was really sad, obviously, to see. A lot of tears were shed, obviously, up until that day, and that day, and through on out these last few days as well. Now, since he's passed, it is sad to see that he's not there. You go to bed, and he was normally on my left side, on the floor, on his bed, in his blanket, and now he's not there anymore. My wife works from home, so I've been spending a little bit more time with her in the morning since I'm off from teaching right now, but obviously I'm still doing the real estate, but those times vary depending on what needs to be done or who wants to see a house and so on and so forth. So I'm able to spend a little bit more time at home with her while she's working from home, because her two coworkers were Jake and Cooper. Every day, Cooper would lay there on his bed, because we had four beds for Cooper. He had one in every room almost, or at least he had one in every level of the house. He had one in the bedroom, he had one in the living room, then one in the lower level living room, and then in the office where Stephanie works. And he would sit there and snooze, and when it was breakfast/lunchtime, when she would feed him during her break, pop right up, time for dinner or time for lunch, whatever it was, and go back down, and he'd go back to sleep again and wait for mom to be done with work or me to come home, whatever it was, and then he was back up. So now Jake has to take over that responsibility. He has to be Stephanie's coworker from home now, but these first couple days, it was a little rough. He's not there. He's not there in the morning with her. It's just Jake now. Normally, she would have to step over him sometime if he would move from his bed to lay under her feet or whatever it was, and you know, she's said that, you know, it's sad not having that. I love walking over him, you know, and you don't really realize you appreciate that until it's gone. So those are some things that we are missing, just the emptiness of the dog being there, or the emptiness in your heart or in your household, whatever it might be. Those are the tough parts right now for me, at least, and also for my wife. You know, before I met my wife 5 years prior, when she had Cooper, she said those two were like Bonnie and Clyde. They were thick as thieves. When one person would go one place, the other one went with the other, and things of that nature. So they had a strong bond 5 years, and then luckily enough, she and him came into my life, and he was such a good dog. As some of you know, I'm a wrestler as well, a professional wrestler, and I used to grab him, and I would give him a suplex, but I called it a coopplex. So it was a coopplex, and I'd pick him up, and then we'd land on our backs onto the bed, and obviously it was all safe, and he didn't know what to think of that, and then it would just turn into me cuddling him. So we would do those fun things, like I said. You just mess with him a little bit. Him and Jake, we have a video of them playing with this one toy. It was a pink dinosaur, and it's hilarious. We were just watching this the other day. My wife brought home a pink dinosaur, and it made like a crinkly noise within it. It's hilarious, and they would chase each other with that, and this was just probably 3-4 years ago only. So he was about, you know, 11 or 12 years old, and he's still running around with him. And I think it was true what my wife said, is that Jake put some extra life into him, possibly 3 extra years, which that was fantastic. So they had this pink dinosaur, and they were chasing each other around with it, grabbing it. And then there's this one video where Cooper laid down the pink dinosaur. He went to go scratch his neck, and his back was turned to it. And Jake sneaks in, grabs it. After Cooper was done itching, he saw that, and they chased after each other around the living room some more, fighting over that pink dinosaur. So I don't know what that pink dinosaur had that was so magical, but both of those boys love that pink dinosaur. Cooper, here's another great story. Same house. It's a different house that we live in than now. He got out without a leash on. And if you know anything about Basset-type dogs, they just go where their nose goes, basically. He got out, and he went down the street. And he went probably about a fourth of a mile away or more. And the police officer saw the dog and picked Cooper up, put him in the back of the squad car. And squad car comes back, and Cooper's got his nose between the bars of the squad car. And my wife got a photo of that, and if I remember, I'll try to post that maybe within this video. But if not, I can put it on the Facebook page and whatnot. But it was funny. His nose is hanging out. He looks like he just got arrested for something, but he just got out unleashed, and luckily nothing bad happened to him. And the cop picked him up, brought him back, and there he was in the back of the squad car. So it was pretty funny. It's a great photo that she has of him. But with all those memories, obviously, we're going to try to hold and we're going to try to cherish all those amazing times that we had with this dog for 15 years, almost 16 if you had made it to September 11th. But when you think back on these times, that's the one thing you got to do is you got to – we had one bad day with him, but would you exchange that one really, really bad day with 15 and a half plus great times? I think pretty much 100% of people would probably say no. But that last day, it's terrible. But for me, it was a sense of relief that knowing that even though he's not here with us, he's not in any sort of arthritic pain anymore, or he's not in any sort of confusion anymore. We had some amazing, amazing doctors at Companion Animal Care here in Winona. We had two, well, all the doctors there are fantastic. All the vets there are fantastic. One of the last couple of times that we had to take him to the vet for his checkups and stuff like that, he really, really gave us an idea and some help, some fantastic help of some medicine that had just come out recently for cats and dogs, I believe, that suffer from arthritis. His name is Dr. Evan Ward. He was amazing. He was the one that actually had to put down Cooper as well, which I was so happy that it was him, because the last about three checkups that we had with Cooper, he was the one that was always there. So Cooper probably, you know, recognized his smell and stuff of that nature and knew who he was. But he had some fantastic advice, said, you know, he's just suffering from arthritis. So as long as you want to keep caring for him, the way you guys are, you know, there's no need to put him down. And, okay, great, because we weren't sure at first. He struggled with walking because his back legs had arthritis. And so he also had some anxiety from his cognitive abilities, so they gave us some medicine for that, and it worked fantastic. The doc said he could suffer, you know, dogs that have cognitive abilities can suffer maybe a real short time, or maybe it could be days, weeks that they could have this problem and then they snap out of it. Well, we gave Cooper some medicine for anxiety, and it never really became a thing. You could tell he'd get confused for a few minutes and then he would snap out of it and he was back. And so we're like, well, he's doing fantastic with that. Then his legs started to give out more with the arthritis and just the lack of muscle back there as well. Because his front legs were sturdy and strong. Every time they would go, they go, boy, these two front ones are sturdy and strong, but the back one's not so much. And he's probably distributing his weight differently in the front. But he said, you know, the arthritic pain in the back legs might be the problem why Anna is also losing muscle because of that. Then we got this, we got word of this shot that just had come out last July, and it just kind of perks him up, takes away some of that pain for about 3 weeks. And the first time Cooper got that, about 24 hours later, boom, he's back up walking. He is out walking. He actually took off on me one day. How old was he? About 15 and 3 months old. I think he went down the driveway and just started, he's 15 and a half. He just started walking down the driveway, and then he took himself on a walk, and I just walked next to him because I knew he wasn't going to run by any means. So I was like, oh, well, let's just go as far as you want to go. And we went probably about a tenth of a mile, but, you know, it's not long for us humans, but for a dog that's a senior dog, you know, that's quite a distance to go. But I said, came back. I had to carry him back because he got a little tired after a while, and carried him back and told my wife, I said, well, he just took himself on a walk, so whatever that shot was that they give, you know, we'll do it every 3 weeks or whatever it costs. It was like $86. I go, but for $86 for him to perk up like that, there's really no money I wouldn't pay to make my dog comfortable or to give him the best life possible, which is what we believe we did for him. And a lot of our friends have reached out and said that we gave him such a great life, you know, I'm assuming they mean it as well, or maybe it's just nice things they've said, but we've had a lot of people reach out, and it's been very, very helpful for that as well. But going back to the doctor, we thought we were going to have to actually put down Cooper in March, and that's when that shot came out. And that's when we had learned about that shot. And we're like, nope, I'm glad we didn't make that decision then, because it would have been the wrong time. He still had from March until, well, what was it, June 23rd? So he still had about 3 more months left to go. And that's great. We wouldn't change those 3 months for anything. I'll give him an $86 shot if that's what it takes. So got 3 extra more months out of that. But the first time we ever thought or started talking about that we might have to start thinking about this was about last September, maybe late August. And we didn't know what was going on with him. The back legs were getting weaker at that point. And then that's when he started having bathroom issues. And so, you know, that's when the first talks had happened. And so we got, geez, about 10 extra months out of just doing some care for him. We gave him baths instead, because the groomers, when they're starting to have that issue, we didn't want to take him to the groomer in case he had those issues, and then we're kind of embarrassed, even though they probably don't care. They've probably seen everything. But then we start giving him baths at home, and baths would really perk him up. Boy, he loved a nice, fresh bath. Might have been the warm water. I always like to put there goes a fire truck. I always like to put a little bit of warm water, not hot, but not cold, so that way it was warm on his body, especially if he has arthritis or pains. I always think warm feels a lot better on my body than cold does. But he would perk right up, and boy, he loved a bath. So we got about an extra 10 months just taking really good care of him. Eventually, we started mushing up his food. We're not really sure if it was because maybe his teeth were starting to get a little bit more brittle or not, or maybe he just wanted what brother gets, because with Jake, we have to we had to grind his food up every single meal into about a milkshake consistency, because he has what's called a motility issue, which is similar to mega esophagus. And that's where the food doesn't, the sphincter in the neck area doesn't push the food down like we have in our throats. And what would happen is it would get stuck and possibly go into the lungs. And then Jake had aspirated 2 times where he was on his deathbed about 2 times, because of that, and we didn't know that until this all had happened. So anyways, with that being said, we would do that for Jake twice a day. Well, eventually, it would be happening for Cooper twice a day. And I don't know if it was because it was just, it felt like something new for him, so it was exciting for him, even though it was the same exact food, it was just in a milkshake consistency. And he always, always loved soft food. That was like a treat to him. So sometimes we give them that as a treat. But anyways, going back to that, we changed his food up a little bit just to a milkshake consistency, and boy, he would eat that. He would drink water. He also had liver failure happening in about the last 5 years of his life, but that was not, I don't think, what the issue was at the very end. I think it was just a cognitive thing because he looked confused. But he had liver issues, and whatever the doctors did, boy, it lasted 5 years and never really had an issue. So that was fantastic as well. But companion animal care here in Winona is who we went to with him when he moved, or when Stephanie moved here 10 years ago. And they had been his doctors ever since. They were my family dog, Jordan. They were his doctors as well. So we have a very good rapport with them. We like going there. It feels home there when we go there. And that was why we were hoping to wait till Monday in order to put him down, so he knew he was at a place that was familiar. Even if he may not have, at least maybe it was familiar for us humans. Maybe it was more of our situation. But at least we knew that he was put down, put to sleep at a place with a doctor that had been caring for him for almost about a year. So that was really nice there. They do such a fantastic job. They sympathize with you, which is amazing. You know, a doctor could just come in and just say, hey, this is how it goes. This is what happens. Let's get going. It wasn't that. They said, take as much time as you want when you're done. You don't even have to come out into the hallway and tell us that you're leaving. Just crack the door. When everything was done, I went out and thanked the staff for all they've ever done for Cooper. We still have Jake yet, so they're not off the hook yet. Jake's a wild guy. So when Jake goes into companion, we say, make sure there's no other dogs around, because we're not sure. I mean, he didn't get socialized the best because we got him around COVID time when you couldn't really take him anywhere. But he loves females. He loves any male that was in his life prior to him growing up. Guys that come around Jake now, he's a little timid of, until they're sitting down or they might have food for him. And then he eventually warms up to him a little bit. I'm not really sure what that's all about, but anyways, that's beyond the point. So I went out and thanked the doctors and just, or not the doctors, but the people at the front staff, because all the doctors were doing other appointments. And they said, oh, you know, they were very thankful that I said that to them. And then they said, you know, they sympathized with us. And it was just a sense of relief, as I said. Great place to be. Just that 2-3 days leading up to it, terrible. But Cooper, again, He would sit by my feet when I was, you know, when I'd be editing the podcast, if it was at home. He'd sit there with me, and he would, anything I ever wanted or anything mom ever wanted. He was just such a delightful dog. And he's going to be truly missed by everyone around him. Like I said, we had a lot of friends reach out to us saying, if there's anything you need, please let us know. He had such a good life with you guys. We had a party or a grill out on Friday, but we had planned this like 2 weeks prior to that, so we didn't know the state that Cooper would have been in. Had I known that that was the state that he would have been in, I would have said no to the party, but didn't really happen until the day before, so we weren't going to cancel it, but it might have been, in my mind, maybe a blessing in disguise, because some of the people that he knew in his life got to at least say goodbye to him one last time, which is hard. Nobody knew that until that day of that we said, you know, this might be Cooper's last time. So before maybe you leave, you know, and go over and say goodbye to him, whatever you want to do. So my dad did that. Her friends did that. Some of my friends that Cooper knew, they all did that. So maybe it was a blessing in disguise, but I can tell you in the back of my mind, that whole evening was pain. And so I had as much fun as I could with the people that were there. But Cooper, he was comfortable throughout there. That night we sang karaoke from about 1 a.m. until about 4 a.m. And he just sat there and slept and looked at us like we were crazy. And then I took him up to bed and he continued to go to sleep. He was on a sleep schedule, as always. And but he sat there and just listened to us belt out terrible tunes. But he never had a problem with that. He could sleep through just about anything. So he had such a great life. Us moving on past this is going to be tough, but we can do it. We're going to be fine. The one thing now that we're worried about is making sure Jake, our other dog, is making sure he's okay. Because some people might not think that, you know, dogs can tell that other dogs, you know, maybe they don't understand what's going on. But, you know, that last Saturday night through Sunday to Monday morning, Jake would want to go by him and sniff him and stuff. And I think that he could tell the change was happening. My wife said that she thinks dogs go through chemical changes in their body, which they probably do, and other dogs can sense that. And so when we did all that, at first, you know, we tried to move him, and then Jake kind of got a little, not defensive, because anytime we ever held Cooper, he got jealous. So he would want to come over. He would want to either kiss Cooper, or he wanted to lick us, whatever it was. Jake would always be a little jealous if we picked up Cooper and held him, because we can't pick up a 150-pound dog that easy. But Cooper being a 50-pound dog, he's not as hard to pick up. So I could pick him up and carry him around or dance with him, whatever I wanted to do, and Jake would get jealous. And I think he didn't realize what was happening at first on Saturday night, but then into Sunday, anytime we wanted to move Cooper around to get him comfortable, he stopped doing that. And even a couple of times, he did whine a little bit, like a cry. And Jake doesn't normally cry about anything unless he's very excited for something. He'll start doing that whining noise that gets kind of annoying after a while when mom comes home or someone new's coming over. He gets that excited. But this was, you could tell, this was more of a whimpering, and he doesn't normally do that. Jake does not whimper ever, as far as I can tell. And I think he understood what was going on, because after I heard that a couple of times, he stopped getting all in our business when I would pick up Cooper to make him feel comfortable, or when mom would pick him up to make him feel comfortable, or we would lay by him and just pet him to make sure he was comfortable and relax him as best as we could that last day. He stopped doing that, So I think he understands what happened. And so now going forward, we're going to, you know, make sure he's comfortable, because my aunt said when she had to do this and she had two dogs, she said it took about 2 weeks for the other dog to kind of come back. And I have seen it in the last couple days when we feed him. He normally would run up the stairs right to his bowl and he'd get excited and he'd sit or lay on the floor until his food was mixed up and ready to go. He's still eating. That's not the problem, but he's just not as excited anymore. And it might be because Cooper's not there eating with him. Normally Cooper and him were fed at the exact same time, but he is still eating. It's just he's not as excited right now. But we went on a walk with him. He was excited for that. So we're going to make Jake feel as comfortable as possible. And I told Jake, I said, you're the man of the house now. You gotta do double love for Cooper. Cooper, you know, was a big part of our life. So I said, now you got to make up for that. And you're 150 pounds, so you're three times bigger than him. You should be able to fill those shoes, hopefully. So I think it's just going to take a little time. Hopefully it's not too long, because, you know, we really love Jake as well. But a big part of our household is missing at the moment. And it is tough. It's tough for not only me, but very, very tough for my wife as well. And I just texted her today earlier and I said, you know, babe, we got your back. We're going to be there for you. We're going to make sure that you're comfortable, that you can get back to the happy state, and that we just have our memories of him, that we only think about those good things, not that final day. That'll always live in my head, but I don't want to be the only thing I ever think about, because there was just so many awesome memories that we had with Cooper. It's like with my grandparents, you know, when they both passed away. I don't think about those days before they passed away. I only think about the times that I hung out with them. My grandparents, all three of them that have passed away so far, I only really think about them in the state of their ages of about 80 years old. And two of my grandparents lived until their 90s, and the other one lived into his mid-80s, I believe. But that's the only way I'll ever see my grandparents. And so I'm hoping that will always be the same. When I think of my childhood dog, Jordan, I don't think of the day when we put him down. I only think about those really good memories, like when I got him and all the fun that we had with him and when he ran away and stuff like that. And I hope the same is true for Cooper, which I'm sure it will be. It's just going to take a couple weeks. And we're going to get back into the swing of things and get into a three-person household rather than a four-person household. But Jake, he's got big shoes to fill, even though he's a large dog. But English Mastiffs don't live as long. I think the longest one I've seen on some of our website or some of our Facebook groups is 11, 12 years. And he's already at his 5.5-year mark. So he's about halfway there. But we're going to care for him just like we did with Cooper. The hardest thing we thought, you know, when this time comes with him is going to be as easy to say this is the time, because we might not be able to pick him up like I could pick up Cooper and move him around when he was struggling with his legs. When Jake's struggling with his legs, he's going to be 150 or so pounds. So I can do that, but is Stephanie going to be comfortable with that too? Because Stephanie probably won't be able to help out as much when a 150-pound dog is struggling. Whereas I can pick him up. That's not a problem. With Cooper, it took both of us to make sure he was comfortable, still living the best life that he could possibly live at the end there for the last 10 months. So we're hoping that Jake will overcome all this and he's going to be just fine, which I think he will. He's a pretty easygoing dog, except for when other men are around or dogs that are somewhat larger are around. He struggles with that one. But we want to take him more places now. We just discussed that. We want to take him to more places, because with two dogs, it was tough. It wasn't as easy to have them both come everywhere. Not everyone wants a dog with them, let alone two, to places where you come to. But Grandma and Grandpa always wanted the dogs over, so we always took them there for Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever it was. Both dogs came, and Cooper got his treats, and, well, Jake with his mega esophagus motility issues, we don't give him treats other than just dog treats that he'll chew up in case of the problem of him going back and aspirating again. So we want to take Jake to as many places as people will let us take him to. My wife got one of those cages in the back of her Honda Pilot, so he'll just stay back there now, because if you take Jake in a car, He's everywhere. He wants to look out the right window, the front window, the left window, the back window. And he'll get right in your ear and he'll start licking your face while you're driving. And that's not safe. So she got we got a third row car for Stephanie, for Jake. And now we got a cage in the back and he can sit back there. And we got a bed for him. So when he goes along, we'll stick the bed in the back and he can just lay down and enjoy the ride, hopefully like Cooper used to do. Because Cooper would, you get him in a car ride, he'd sit up for about a minute or two. And once he realized the car was moving, he was on the floorboard sleeping. So he was a fantastic dog. So I just wanted to come on and do this special episode for not only for Cooper, but for my wife as well. She has no idea I'm doing this. And just to let her know that things are going to be okay. And we're going to push through this. And we're going to keep doing more and more with Jake as well as time goes on. But we will never, ever forget Cooper in our life and the 15 plus years that he had and the fantastic life and the great feelings that he gave all of us and all the fantastic memories. So for that, Cooper, we miss you. You'll always be remembered in our life, and we will see you on Monday for a brand new episode. Cheers.